number one fan has just listened to the second time of Skylark of Space. Thank you so very much.
Go tape.
Hear now the words.
Greetings. I am Publius, and you, I suppose you know who you are listening to a long-form spoken word presentation on AnonRadio.net.
Yes, that's right. You have once again tuned into my program. At 1500 UTC on Friday, the 17th, I guess it is, isn't it? Yes, the 17th of March in the glorious future year of 2023. And it may be St. Patrick's Day, but I'm not going to sing the wearing of the green or anything of that kind. Instead, I'm getting back to Science Fiction of the Early Years by Everett F. Blyler. And I'm going to pick up where I left off last time at the end of the section entitled Background Works, Background Books. So, yes, Background Books. Now, I almost finished it last time, but there are two more items here. So, Robert Houdin, that is, Jean-Eudine Robert, 1805-1871. And specific work cited is The King of the Conjurers, The Life of Robert Houdin, published by Henry T. Coates, Philadelphia, circa 1890, first published 1859, translated from the French by Dr. R. Sheldon Mackenzie. Original title, Confidence d'un Prestidigiteur, 1858. One of the classics of the history of stage magic, and also one of the favorite books for boys of the latter half of the 19th century, including Houdini, whose name was derived from it. This volume also had considerable influence on the adventure fiction of the day. We shall mention only an episode that is mirrored many times in the preceding story description, the imitating of supernatural effects by legerdemain, and the routing of primitive magicians by applied modern science. In 1856, Robert Houdin, the foremost European illusionist of his day, was invited to visit Algeria, where the French were then undertaking the conquest and pacification of Kabylia. One focus of native resistance was to be found in the local marabouts, or magicians, who offered so-called magical effects to potential warriors, including immunity to weapons. And this is a claim which is still being made, particularly, but not exclusively, in Africa. Still being made by various mystics and so on, that they can give you anything ranging from a drug to an amulet to what have you that will make you immune to bullets. People with this alleged immunity are, you know, so these groups are often to be found among rebels and so on. Anyway. Robert Houdin was asked by the French government to outperform these men, discrediting them, thus weakening the local resistance movement. Arriving in Algiers, Robert Houdin set up stage apparatus involving considerable use of the then unfamiliar electricity. Three tricks were most important. In the first, the magician put an iron weight on the stage, lifted it several times, then challenged native strongmen to lift it. At this time, electromagnets under the stage held the weight in place. The second trick involved shocking the person who was trying to lift the weight so that he could not move. The third was a proof of invulnerability in which Robert Houdin let a native marksman shoot at him. These stage performances apparently did much to discourage the Algerians. On a further occasion, Robert Houdin traveled into the countryside, challenging native magicians to contests. These episodes were reworked many times into the boys' literature of the 19th century. Then Sims Americus, Americus Sims, and a book with a cumbersome title, The Sims Theory of Concentric Sphere, demonstrating that the Earth is hollow, habitable within, and widely open about the pole, compiled by Americus Sims from the writings of his father, Captain John Cleves Sims. Printed by Bradley and Gilbert, Louisville, Kentucky, 1878, really an undated later edition. The present work is the clearest authoritative exposition of the ideas of Captain Sims, particularly valuable since Sims did not set down his ideas in a formal book exposition, even though he spent much time proselytizing and trying to organize expeditions to the inner world. According to Sims, the Earth is constructed of a series of four concentric shells surrounding a small central mass. We on the outermost shell, which is about 1,000 miles thick, can gain access to the inner worlds by openings at the poles. It should be noted that while Sims thus postulates an Earth composed of 5 segments, in practice he was concerned only with the inner concave surface of our outer shell, which he hoped to explore. The polar openings, which are between 3,000 and 4,000 miles across, are offset at an angle from the axis of the Earth, with the northern opening running roughly through northern Lapland, Greenland, Hudson's Bay, Cook's Inlet, Bering Straits, and across Siberia. The rims or verges of the holes are extensive and gradually curved, so any difference from them and the proper spherical surface of the Earth are imperceptible. Sims based his theory on 2 groups of data, the warm open polar sea, together with travelers' reports of driftwood and odd flora and fauna at high latitudes, and, secondly, astronomical observations. Sims believed that the Martian ice caps were polar openings, and that the rings of Saturn marked concentric spheres. According to Sims, the inner world is lighted by reflections of the sun's rays, while the various inner spheres are kept separate by the inclusion of buoyant hydrogen in their shells. When this hydrogen emerges from our outer shell, it catches fire, producing volcanoes and earthquakes. Auroras, on the other hand, are generated by, quote, powers and elements that exist in and emanate from the interior world, end quote. Communication between inner and outer worlds is possible and easy, as the migration of northern animals shows. The inner world is expected to be forested and temperate, eminently suitable for human habitation. In an appendix dated 1880, Americus Sims discusses a report on exploratory trips to the inner world, known as Simmonsia, by explorers named Wiggins, Zabom, and Tuttle. Their exploits were reported to a meeting of the Society of Arts, presided over by Clements Markham. Simsonia is described as a pleasant, well-forested land inhabited by beautiful people 7 or 8 feet tall who speak Hebrew and are descended from the Lost Tribes. Markham was a geographer of renown, and if such a meeting and report ever occurred, they were undoubtedly spoofs that everyone except Americus Sims understood as such. While the concept of a hollow Earth was not original with Sims, having been propounded, for one, by the astronomer Edmund Halley in explanation of magnetic phenomena, Sims' personal presentations of the theory seem to have been extraordinarily convincing to his hearers. In science fiction, the motif of the hollow Earth, as an examination of the motif index will show, has been very fruitful. So I will now proceed on to reading from the motif and theme index. I'm not going to read every single entry, but there are a series of long annotated entries, which I'll give you some highlights from. So it says, every story in the main listing of this book is analyzed in the following index of motifs and themes. In some cases, this comes to more than 50 entries per story. Stories are coded only for the situation where they are described. For reprintings or other editions, please consult the author index. And it has to be said that in addition to the summaries, this is a truly monumental undertaking, just the index itself. You know. The first entry is Abaris, reached secondary moon, item 2455. see, but we can find out about that, because it is an interesting, interesting thought, isn't it? That 2455 is in the addenda. And it says, aha, Bilderdijk Willem, 1756 to 1831, Netherlands man of letters, prolific as poet, historian, literary critic, religious and religious and political apologist, generally regarded as the outstanding representative of the Romantic movement in the Netherlands, but exhibits a romanticism focused on conservatism. A short account of a remarkable aerial voyage and discovery of a new planet, Wilfion Books Publishers UNESCO, Paisley, Scotland, 1987, translated from the Dutch with an introduction by Paul Vincent, afterward by Luc DeVos, originally Kort Verhaal van een Aanmerkelijke Luchtreis in Nieuwe Planetendekking, 1831. A short lunar voyage, originally published anonymously and claimed to be a translation from Russian. The narrator, a soldier of fortune and a physician, who long pondered about astronomy and the means of reaching the planets, has kept abreast of aerial navigation and observational astronomy. While he is in Shirwan, hoping to travel to Russia, his descriptions of balloons fascinate his hearers, who agree to provide the funds if he will build a balloon and ascend. He thereupon constructs a cloth balloon with hydrogen as the lifting force. A friend had agreed to accompany the narrator, but as the balloon begins to ascend, his companion leaps out, and the lessened weight drives the balloon so high that the narrator loses consciousness. He awakens in a strange milieu, with scrubby shrubs, small trees, marshy land, and foul water. The moon in the sky looks odd, but it is some time before the narrator realizes that he is not on the Earth, but is watching the Earth. Actually, as he discovers, he is on a secondary moon between Luna and the Earth. He calls it Selenion, and sees still other secondary moons ranging out toward Luna. Life on Selenion is difficult, for he has no fire, and such food as he can gather is unpalatable. In his explorations, he comes upon a field of self-sown grain, but it is guarded by a band of fierce wild turkeys who drive him away. His most important finds, however, are a skeleton, a ruined hut, and a few metal objects, with inscriptions in Greek revealing that the legendary Abaris had preceded him to the moon and died there. By now, the narrator has had enough of Selenion, and repairing his balloon, using leftover chemicals to generate gas, he takes his chances on returning to Earth. He is fortunate, and comes down in the North Pacific, where he is rescued by a Russian ship. A minor work, overladen with pretentious displays of irrelevant or barely relevant material from classical and other sources. DeVos' essay at the rear of the book is quite valuable as a historical survey of utopian and other fantastic elements in Dutch and Flemish literatures. Okay. So yes, Abaris, that's who that is. Abominable snowman, see also subhumans. Abulia and aphasia. Absolute zero. The abyss of waters. Abyssinia. Accelerated evolution. Adam and Eve, new creations. Adam and Eve's tomb inside the hollow earth. Adaptive ultimate. Okay, what is the abyss of waters? Let's find out. 1784. What is 1784? Deep, 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 1784. Edgar Allan Poe. Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket, of course. Let's see. Adam and Eve's Tomb Inside the Hollow Earth, 1495. Let's find out what kind of story that is. Obviously, it's a Hollow Earth story. What am I saying? There's the guy with the, yes, Ideal Society's whale exploitation. The Sovereign Guide, A Tale of Eden. George Rice and Sons, Los Angeles, 1898, with photograph of author. This is by Miller William Amos, American author. According to an autobiographical statement in the book, a resident of Butler, Pennsylvania, was congenitally deaf and blind, but learned to communicate. Despite handicaps, very gifted mechanically, made precise models of extractive equipment. Livelihood as broom maker and chair seat weaver, perhaps with a few employees. Strictly speaking, this is religious fantasy, not science fiction, but the author makes use of such concrete mechanical devices that a description here may be justified. The Angel of Death takes the narrator to Rome, to the deathbed of an old retainer who had once betrayed him and had been dismissed. The narrator watches as the angel affixes an elaborate mechanical device to the dying man's coronary area, or artery, to measure his longevity. His friend dead, the narrator is now taken to the sea, where the angel shows him a remarkable submarine vessel, ovoid in shape with spire points, equipped with electric engines associated in some way with magnetic devices. This vessel is described in detail. The angel and the narrator enter and descend about 500 leagues, emerging on the inner surface of the hollow earth. This is much like the outer world, but better. The air is heavier and purer. Light seems to come from Simsian polar openings, although this is not entirely clear. The important point is that the inner world was the place of creation, where Adam and Eve lived before being driven into the outer world. The Garden of Eden survives, but in a neglected, half-barren state, with only the Tree of Knowledge still flourishing. The Tomb of Adam and Eve is a most impressive affair. The inner Eden is inhabited by various peoples spread out on continents that correspond in placement to the seas of the outer world. The narrator visits several people, at times making use of remarkable vessels operated by magnetism. All the inner nations are devout Christians and possess the Bible. The narrator spends some time among the people of Devonia, who are superior in arts and sciences to the outer world. The author describes their customs and institutions. The government is a constitutional monarchy with regulated social classes and age groups. There is no war or poverty. Divorce is not permitted, and meat is not eaten. The language does not include consonants, but is a succession of melodic sounds. The angel then takes the narrator to a hell, after which it explains the universe before the present one. The war in heaven is presented in somewhat science fictional terms as titanic angelic forces occupied pre-creation planets. After a time, the angel returns the narrator back to his home. He is now deaf and blind. Naive in narrative, cliched in religiosity, but psychologically interesting, both in the obvious projection and the relationship between the author's handicap and his clearly visualized mechanical devices. Right. Adam and Eve's Tomb Inside the Hollow Earth. There you go. Adaptive Ultimate, 2072. Adepts. Advertising. iPureness surviving. Aerial irrigation. Oh, dear. Afghanistan partition between Russia and Great Britain. Russians conquer. War with Great Britain. Russians invasion. Africa. Since authors are often not precise in locating stories, and since boundaries have changed greatly, we have presented African locations in four major groups: Africa East, Africa North, Africa South, and Africa West and Central. Egypt and the Sahara Desert are carried as separate entities. See also Lost Races and Strange Peoples. Let's see. Oran, Algeria, Ancient Carthage, Morocco, Morocco at war with Great Britain, Gulf of Sirte, Kalahari Desert, Kalahari Desert from the year 1750 onward, Timbuktu, the world capital. Let's see, Africa in general, natives expel all whites, African ethnography as the basis of future culture, after-death experiences, the aged put to death, see also euthanasia, aging, instant or very rapid aging, people shrink away, one does not age during space travel, causes for aging and loss of brain electricity, bacterial, radium prevents, artificial aging, premature aging, abnormally slow aging, aerophobia, air as food, air removing its buoyancy, air battles, air islands and flying cities, see also flying culture, air pirates, air trusts and monopolies, air vessel that cannot be landed, airplane flight on the moon, Alabama. Not a major source of science fiction, but what can you do? Aladdin's lamp and thermodynamics. What? Alaska, see also Arctic, Albert Hall bombed, Albert Memorial destroyed. Okay, Aladdin's lamp and thermodynamics. That's story 1275. Right, 1275. Aladdin's Lamp by, oh, Kurd Lasswitz, our good friend Kurd Lasswitz, author of Two Planets. German educator, physicist, philosopher, and writer, 1848-1910. Doctoral thesis at University of Breslau on the physics of drop formation. Philosophic work includes Atomistik und Kritizismus, 1878, and studies of Giordano Bruno and Gustav Fechner. In memory of in History of Science, Geschichte der Atomistik von Mittelalter bis Newton, 2 volumes, 1890. Because of putative influence on Hugo Gernsback, probably more important historically than is generally recognized. Items are arranged by date of German original. So yes, Aladdin's Lamp, Magazine of Science Fantasy and Science Fiction, July 1953, translated from the German by Willy Ley. Aladdin's Wunderlamp, printed originally from Seifenblasen, 1893. Science fiction, but with a physical... Science fantasy, but with a physical point. The author's intention is to poke fun at pseudo-philosophical speculations on psychic research, notably the work of Carl Duprell. Also present is satire on the concept of relativity of scientific laws in a reductio ad absurdum of the Machian position. An ancient Islamic lamp offered to the museum turns out, according to an inscription on it, to be Aladdin's lamp. After much serious discussion of miracles in terms of psychic research and occultism, the narrator rubs the lamp, invoking the spirit. The members of the party make various wishes, all of which the spirit is unable to fulfill. As it explains, it was able to obey Aladdin's commands because the laws of conservation of energy were not known at the time, but it is now almost powerless since, quote, the laws of nature are nothing but the expression of scientific perception of a given period. In my transcendental existence, I'm independent of these laws, but working in your time, such actions would undermine the conditions which are pillars of your culture. In a mixture of disappointment and compassion, the narrator sets the spirit of a lamp free. An excellent embodiment of basic ideas. And then there is, yes, there's several other of his stories. In fact, I won't even hesitate. I'll read the summaries of the others. And then there is, of course, a two-page summary of Auf zwei Planeten. But since I've already read Auf zwei Planeten for you, I'm not going to bother reading a summary of it. I'll read the other stuff. Let's see. When the Devil Took the Professor... Also, FNSF, January 53, translated by Willy Ley. Short story, science, fantasy, and humor used as vehicles for 20th century speculations on the nature of space and the universe. The professor, presumably a physicist, tells of his adventure with the devil, who appeared as his doppelganger and bundled him off into a spaceship. The devil, whose intentions are not benevolent, intends to take the professor on a trip of 10 to the 17th power kilometers, after which he may turn him into a meteorite or marry him to a Martian for 10,000 years. During the trip, the professor, who keeps his wits about him and holds his own against the devil's scientific tricks, finally scores again. The devil, and perhaps his opponent, reason personified, do not know that the universe is finite. The professor tricks the devil into returning to the solar system, where he releases the professor. A very amusing light piece that conveys quite a bit of pre-relativistic cosmology. While the distance involved, about 10,000 light-years, probably seemed large around 1910, today it is small. Let's see. Pictures Out of the Future. Overland Monthly, June 1890, translated from the German by Emil Poli. So that's the only one, I guess, it was published in English in his lifetime. The first chapter of the story, Bis zum Nullpunkt des Seins, 1871, from Bilder aus der Zukunft, 1878. One of the components of the 20th century number of the Overland Monthly, attributed at the end to Bo Poli, but credited with explanatory note to Laßwitz at the beginning. So apparently there's a whole collection of these, but only one has ever appeared in English. At the null point. 2371 AD, probably in Greece, but in any case in continental Europe. The future civilization is a sort of Hugo Gernsback world with a touch of poetry. The population is so large that every available inch is cultivated, and humanity lives in high rises above the agricultural lands. There are flying machines powered by electricity, and many other gadgets. The day is now divided decimally. While this short piece does not give many social details, the land would seem to be capitalistic, and women seem to have equal rights with men. Descent is reckoned on both parents, and a person takes the names of both mother and father. The central character is Aromasia Odosia Odzodes, a young Greek woman who is a recognized artiste on the odor piano. She composes operas and similar works for odor piano and voice, one of her works being The Annihilation of Materialism by Criticism. Aromasia is engaged to Oxygen, The only hindrance to their match, a disturbing factor for Aromasia, is that Oxygen does not recognize that the odor art is the highest of all arts. In the brief storyline, Aromasia is visited by the poet Magnet Rhythmo Uppernote, and then she and her fiancé and Magnet prepare to go out to a restaurant. An amusing piece tantalizing in its brevity. Right. It's Eilerophobia's fear of cats. Let's see. Albert Hall bombed, Albert Memorial destroyed, albinism, alchemy proper, see also, transmutation of metals and gold. Alcohol, components effect reactions, Alexandria, the library at, Algol, connected with interstellar feuds, alien intelligence, see also, humanoids, various animals for listings that do not duplicate, space spirits, machine intelligence. Amoeboids, ants, bacteria, bees, birds, blood corpuscles, cats, centaurs, cone beings, crystal beings, cube beings, evil spiritual beings, extra cosmic being, gaseous beings, globular beings, horses, light beings, liquid beings, metal beings, miscellaneous monsters, monstrous insect-like beings, moths, other dimensions, comma, beings from, plants and trees, reptiles, sky, jellyfish, slab beings, slugs, spiders, vampire, various, alligators and crocodiles, blacks evolved into, with human brains transplanted, in suspended animation, alternate generations of giants and normals, alternative history, see also imaginary wars under various nations and worlds of if, altruism created by psychic radio, amnesia, amnesty for all British convicts, amoeboids, comma, nasty, ammunition exploders, anarchists and anarchism, see also ideal societies, comma, anarchist, anarchists overthrow Russian government, anarchists work in invisible city, ancestral memory, and several entries, perhaps. Andorra, war with Great Britain. Solomon Andre, fate of. Androids, considered here, as is usual in modern science fiction, despite the incorrectness of the term, as artificial human beings, see also robots and automata. Angels. Angles permit the entry of horrible monsters. Anglo-American alliances, Anglo-American Union, Anglo-Saxons, comma, surviving, animal control, comma, paranormal. Let's see, one entry for sporadically. Animalcules interlock to form sea-clogging jelly. Animal-headed humanoids, dog-headed, wolf-headed, baboon-headed. Animals as symbolic of mental states. Animals control men. Animals all extinct. Animals, comma, intelligence. See alien intelligence. Ants, apes and monkeys, bees, birds, cats, ferret, gorillas, horses, moths, orangutans. Animals, comma, invisible. Ape, cats, dog, lunar monster, sea monster, spider, unidentified, winged serpents. Animals surgically transformed to men. Yes, that's not just Island of Dr. Moreau. There are two other stories listed. Animation of the inanimate. See also crystal life. Dead, reanimation of the. Metal life, robots and automata. Angkor War. Is that a misprint for Angkor Wat, possibly? I suspect it is. Annular planets. Antarctica. See also archaeological material Antarctica. Lost races and strange peoples. Open polar sea. Warm polar regions. Sargasso Sea-like area. Island where whites are slaves to blacks. Anthropomorphic and zoomorphic prime movers and transportational devices. See also robots and automata and submarines. Many dime novel submarines are more or less plasiform. No, pisciform. Pisciform, fish-shaped. Electric camel, electric centipede, electric elephant, electric men, electric mule, electric sea spider, electric turtle, mechanical horses, steam elephant, steam horses, steam men. Anti-gravity, forces involved. Apergy, atomic, so-called negative matter, attractive and repulsive forces of various sorts. Earth's magnetic field, electric, etheric forces and waves, gyroscopic and centrifugal force, magnetism of various sources, various sorts, new forces. Anti-gravity, comma, miscellaneous, arrangement with the representatives of Sir Isaac Newton. Extracted from birds, result of universal solvent and ultimate matter. Fake. Rotating electric polarities between the Earth and the Moon, gravity pumps, ultimately mind force. Anti-gravity not explained. Anti-gravity substances involved. Drugs and ointments, gases, solidified gases, metallic helium, minerals, metals, new elements the authors often do not distinguish clearly. Anti-black prejudice, see blacks, comma, genocide. Anti-British prejudice, anti-Hispanic prejudice. Most of the dime novels set in the Far West or Mexico demonstrate prejudice against Hispanic peoples. A few typical examples follow. Anti-Oriental prejudice. This is all pervasive in stories about Chinese and Japanese immigration to the United States. Only a few typical examples are cited in this entry. See also China, genocide, Japan, and Yellow Peril. Anti-Semitism, see also genocide. Anti-sepsis, culture obsessive about. Anti-white prejudice on author's part, see also genocide. Ants, giant intelligent. Small intelligent. Miscellaneous, giant not intelligent. Developed as food, associated with gold. Apaches of Paris, four entries for that. Apes and monkeys, see also gorillas, orangutans, which do not duplicate this listing. Intelligent, gigantic King Kong size, miscellaneous, are devolved humans, invisible, imitate human form, are evolving to intelligence, have human brain transplants, play baseball, originated as hybrid between true humans and animals, trained to set off atomic explosion, as servants. Animal, apes and monkeys playing baseball, yeah, okay. I gotta go look at this. 2302, where you can actually become anti-gravitational by paying off the heirs of Sir Isaac Newton. What? I've got to find out what this is. I've got to find out what this is. 2302. This has got to be. Where are we? Okay. Here we are. Oh, The Mummy, A Tale of the 22nd Century. Ward, E.D., pseudonym of Edward Verrell Lucas, 1868-1938, British journalist, essayist, anthologist, associated with the London Globe, Punch, and publishing house of Methuen, eventually rising to chairmanship of Methuen, edited definitive edition of Charles Lamb, prepared many standard verse collections. Sir Pulteney, A Fantasy. Methuen, London, 1910. Irony on dissatisfaction and hope, borderline science fiction. The great promoter, McSamuel, has bought a large estate in the Cotswolds, where he plans to build a unique establishment, the Great Emprise Hotel. He has made arrangements with, quote, the representatives of Sir Isaac Newton to release one field near the hotel from gravity and intends to base his enterprise on this field. It will afford, sub voce, of course, a clean, easy way to commit suicide. Free from gravity, one simply flashes off the Earth. There is a great outcry at McSamuel's plans, but he pushes them through after making a concession. An official dissuader must process each applicant for the field. This is Sir Pulteney Dorman, a retired diplomat. Sir Pulteney interviews prospective suicides, who are of many types and may represent prominent personalities of the time, a clef. A recognizable George Bernard Shaw, for example, snoops around in disguise. Such is Sir Pulteney's skill that no one enters the field, each applicant at last recognizing that there is something left in life. Eventually, a jaded American entrepreneur ventures too close to the boundary. He is snapped up and deposited many miles away, fall broken by a haystack. After his experience, he recognizes that life is worth living, but ironically dies of his injuries. Good writing, with excellent turns of phrase, but the Chestertonian whimsy turns out to be triviality. So yes, he's made a contract with the Isaac Newton estate to get free of gravity. That's a unique form of anti-gravity, I have to admit. Let's see. Arabia. Arabs, other than Arabia, see also Africa, North. Archaeological material, see also Lost Race categories and Egypt. Africa, Antarctica, Arctic, Asia, Australia, Caribbean, Central America, Egypt, see also Pyramids, Mummies, and Sphinx. North America, see also Aztecs, Mayas, Mound Builders, and Toltecs. Oceanic, Paleolithic, South America, see also Chibchas and Incas. Architecture created out of vibrations. Sounds very specific, but there are two entries for it. Arctic, see also Alaska, Canada, Greenland, North Pole, Open Polar Sea, Sims Holes, Warm Polar Regions. Argentina, Tierra del Fuego, Patagonia, Pampas, Patagonian Island, Imaginary War with the USA. Three entries for that. Aristotelian Forms and Platonic Ideas, Arizona, Armageddon and the Antichrist, Arrhenius Theory of Life Spores in Space, Arrows as Voting Ballots, Arthurian Personalities, Arthur, Lancelot, Guinevere, Merlin, and others. Artificial Biospheres in Space, Artificial Hearts, Artificial Islands, Artificial Regeneration of Limbs, Artificial Satellites, Artificial Sun and Planets, Artificial Women for Sexual Purposes or Deception, Aryans, Proto, Asbestos Clothing, Asteroids in General, see also series Eros and Vesta, Miscellaneous, Place of Exile for Future Napoleonic Figure, Human Inhabitants, Like Earth, Formed by Breakup of the Fifth Planet, Artificial, Visits to, Change Orbit. astral body, considered as a part of a story motif, a detachable personality-carrying part of the mind or soul that can exist separately for a time. The motif is of occult origin, based ultimately on the concept of a tripartite soul. Individual authors may not use the term, but the situation comes to the same thing. Let's see, Atlantis. Lots of entries for Atlantis. Location of ancient Atlantis other than the Atlantic Ocean, Africa, Central and North America, an asteroid. Or, let's see, Atlantis.